Oh, man. Oh, man. Oh, man.
Oh, this is Drake, huh?
It is. It's Drake. It's not a thing again. Called Back to Back.
And well, those are my sentiments exactly, yeah, Drake. Not again.
William Wesley, you can never check me.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I know that. Well, one thing I do know, this is the Phil Henry Show, the world famous Phil Henry Show. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, after the
Thanksgiving weekend. I hope we all give thanks.
I know I did. I had Thanksgiving at Ollie's house.
How was it?
Fantastic.
Yeah. I figured having Thanksgiving at your aunt's house.
And excuse me for a minute. And here's Phil Henry.
You gonna know, I want to hear, Bud, what did you do for Thanksgiving?
Yeah, my mom's.
So was it good?
Yeah, pretty good. I mean, my cousins came over. My cousin does most of cooking.
Oh, is that your cousin, Raven? Is that her name?
Yeah, she does most of cooking.
But your mom cooks.
Yeah, we talk her out of it.
What do you mean you talk her out of it?
We tell my mom, don't cook, please. Please don't do it. Every time, you know.
What? What does that mean, man?
Do I look like I'm stuttering over here?
Don't be a smartass.
I'm telling you. I say to my mom, and everybody says, Mom, please, please don't do it. Because she's getting out the pan and get a turkey and everything.
She's getting out the pan with a turkey, and what are you saying?
I'm saying to her, we're all saying, please, please don't do it. Don't cook. God, no, God, no. And
would you get out of here?
You being serious now?
Yeah. So that's when my cousins come over, and they cook, and they cook good.
And your mom doesn't cook good.
I don't know, but my cousins cook better than her.
Get out of here, will you?
Well...
Anyway, welcome to the show.
How was your Thanksgiving, Phil?
My Thanksgiving was great. I actually did the cooking myself. Thank you.
You kidding, Miss Lemon?
No, I'm not kidding.
Well, now what? You're joking.
No. Why would I be joking? I did the cooking.
Well, there's nothing unusual about a man cooking. We just didn't think you had any talent in that direction. Well, I've never heard of any talent of yours in that direction.
Well, I did. I cooked the turkey. And
it was good.
Yes, it was good. Yes, it was good. And I wasn't the only one eating it. Lauren had some. The cats, you know.
Oh, the cats and Lauren.
Yeah, so that's a pretty good audience. No, it was a great turkey, and we made stuffing. We did all the jazz that you do. And then the next day, we went up to the hockey game.
Now, how is this? You went to see the Anaheim Duck, is that right?
Anaheim Ducks, for the 9 millionth time. It's plural.
All right, Phil. I don't know. I don't follow this jack...
No, the jive, yes.
The jive...
Jive hockey.
You think it's jive hockey, huh?
I don't follow it.
No, I mean, necessarily all the people follow it.
A lot of people fought. What are you, nuts or something, man? The hockey's big. Anyway,
Nice to go down to Anaheim.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. You went all the way to Anaheim for that one, right?
Yeah, because the Kings weren't in town. See, the Kings are a lot, just to explain to the audience, the Kings are a lot closer than the Anaheim Mighty Ducks to where we are. The Kings are in L.A. That's closer than the Ducks are on the other side of L.A. down toward, you know, they're in Orange County. But it wasn't too long of a drive. And it was a pleasant drive, and we got there in plenty of time. I thought it would take us all of 2 hours. It didn't. It was like maybe an hour and 20 minutes. And we got there, and the seats were fantastic. We had these club-level seats.
Now, what was the thing? You said the guy's taking drink orders, that kind of deal.
Yeah, these are the seats where they come down, and they take your drink order and your food. And, you know, it was okay, except one guy handling all of that stuff is bound to take a little bit longer than you. Than maybe you're, you know, used to.
So were you being sort of a pain in the ass?
Yeah, but you were bugging the guy?
No, I wasn't bugging the guy.
Well, come on, Phil. If the people are not bringing the drinks as fast, I know you love to swill it down.
That was great. What's your problem, anyway?
Yeah, what is going on with you?
I don't know.
You and Frank?
No, I had an argument with Frank, yes, but he was talking to me about my cooking. And,
what did he say?
He said that for the last 30 years... And he used this phrase, and I'll never...
What did he say?
He said he's gagged it down the best he could. And so I said to him, you know something? I have too, Frank. And he went, oh my God. He hung up the phone. I haven't talked to him in a few hours.
What's that mean, you gagged it down?
You filthy...
Hey, come on.
All right. Come on.
Oh.
Seriously?
Yes, I was... Yes. Don't say it, bud. I said yes. He said, I've had to gag your cooking down for 30 years. I said, well, guess what I've had to gag down? Oh, I went like that. He turned on his heel, he wheeled about, and said, I'll never darken your sheets again. And out the door he went.
You've had a... Well, that's pretty interesting. You've had a fight with Frank. Yeah, is this the first fight?
We don't have too many of them, I can tell you that.
Are you worried about him?
I'm not worried, but I haven't heard from him in a while.
Well, Frank, if you're out there listening... You know?
I don't want to talk to that slob.
You tell him, guy, you gotta gag it down.
This is none of your business, bud. I don't want any comments from you.
Well, you know, you say that to a guy, it's gonna hurt.
Well, he said he has had to gag my cooking down. What do you think that feels like?
Well, that's not gonna be as bad as saying to a man, well, I've had to gag it down, yeah, man.
I didn't say I've had to gag it down, yeah, man.
Yeah, but that's what it sounds like to a man. You know?
All right, well, let's not talk about this, if you don't mind, too much. If Frank calls, he calls. If he doesn't call, he doesn't call. But I can tell you that I'm very, very sorry to hear that, Mark.
Got him on the phone right now.
Is that Frank? You there? Hey, Frank, Margaret was,
Yeah, let me, I want to talk to you. Margaret, goddammit, I said, and I'll not repeat it.
Don't, hey, Frank, watch the language.
I'm sorry.
Frankie, we're not going to have this argument on the air.
We're not going to have an argument on the air. I said that I gagged it. And he says, if I can talk, he says to me, well, what do you think I've had to gag back for the 40 years of marriage? I said, you better gag it. I said, that's some of the prime real estate in my slacks. And that's when he wheeled about and he stormed out. I didn't storm out.
Frank, you turned on your heel. You wheeled about.
Don't talk about wheeling about.
Hey, Dickman, hold on. I wheeled about. You turned on your heel and wheeled about. When I said you've gagged prime real estate, and that's when you said that you had to gag it.
What are you talking about anyway, Frank?
What I'm trying to tell you is he was the one who initiated the insults.
Well, wait a minute. Was she talking about your cooking?
Who am I talking with?
That's Robert.
Say it again.
Was she talking about, you talking about her cooking?
What we were talking about was my mother's cooking, which he's never had because my mother wasn't alive when I married him. He'd already died. So I was talking about my dear mother's cooking, and I miss his cooking so much. And he says to me, well, I never had his cooking. For all I know, it could gag a buzzard off of a meat wagon. And
Margaret, you didn't say that.
I was kidding. I wasn't kidding, but I was saying it sincerely, knowing that I've never had the cooking of his mother.
Exactly right. So if you've never had his cooking, how could you say gag the buzzard?
I was joking around. I was clowning.
I'm not talking about clowning.
I'm not talking. You know, why is, Frank, why are we sharing this with the audience?
Because I'm going to get some things said. You talk about my mother. He was the light of my life.
Oh, God, deliver me from men and their mothers, you know?
Oh, yeah, okay, sure. How about you and your father? The things you told me about her, hoo-hoo, what I wouldn't give.
You know, Frank, you're a scumbag, you know?
Well, watch it, okay? Everybody just calm it down if you don't mind.
Look, Henry, don't play mediator, all right? And when I say mediator, I mean M-E-A-T.
See, these are the kind of jokes that he does.
Well,
now, hold on. Let's not. You guys don't have to do this.
I want him to apologize for what he said about my mother.
Frank, you're right. I've never met your mother, so how would I know?
Exactly. So why would you say that his cooking would gag a buzzard clean off the end of a meat wagon? Why would you do that?
As a gag. I was joking. Remember when I said I was kidding around, it was a gag? And that's when he said, well, guess what I've had to gag back? And I said, you dirty, filthy old man.
That's correct. That's what he said.
All right. And then I said, and then he said, well, guess what I've, or no, I said,
Look, he can't even get it straight.
Hold on for a minute.
I'm getting confused. You know, wait a minute. You said to him that,
Are you talking to me?
No, I'm talking to Mark. Wait, who am I talking to?
Let me do this. You said to her, how did this start?
I said to Frank, that when I mentioned something about his mother's cooking, I bet it gagged a buzzard off a meat wagon.
Yeah, but why would you say that? That I have no reason.
I was clowning. Don't you understand do you understand the concept of having a couple of laughs?
Yeah, but I mean, that's going to offend people.
Right, what she said. See, you don't understand the concept of how those things can offend an individual.
Oh, Frank, your phony indignation, really. I just love it.
Well, you can call it phony, but when you said that my mother's cooking might have gagged a buzzard or my father off the proverbial bait wagon, that's when all bets were off.
I didn't say beat wagon.
It sounded like beat wagon, and then you said meat wagon.
All right, so, and she also brought up your father.
Well, she's the only father that I've got. And he says, yeah, I bet you that cooking would gag a buzzard off a meat wagon or your father. And I said, now you're talking about her? God will not permit this to happen. I am going to be allowed...
Yeah, I know, to fulfill your destiny. We're talking here, just so people know...
I know, to fulfill the destiny, yep.
Well, wait, we're talking here with Frank Gray. Margaret Gray is with us, and this was not supposed to...
But wait, this, you know, as long as it started the program...
Well, it wasn't supposed to start the show.
Well... I want to get to...
It wasn't even supposed to be part of the show.
No, hold on. Wait, I want to ask you something, Frank. Margaret said she was gagging around?
No, he said it was a gag, okay?
All right, and then what?
That's when I said...
That's what he said about...
Shut your hole for just 5... I want to get this thing up to speed. Then what?
Then what?
All right, I think I know where you're going, General.
No, wait. No, you don't. Go ahead.
What the general's trying to say to you, Frank, it started out with the meat wagon crack about cooking, right?
Yeah, and then he said, and I said, how dare you? God will not permit this to happen. I'm going to be allowed to fulfill my destiny. And that's when he said it was a gag. And
yes, that's right, Ed.
Oh, hold on, Margaret, I'll say. And that's when I said, yeah, and guess what else is a gag? What I've had to gag back for the last 40 plus years of his cooking. I was looking at him and saying, of your cooking, and that's when he said something that every man, no matter who he is going to be offended by. When the wife says this to her, she's going to be upset that he, the woman that she loves, would say this. And he said, well, guess what I got to gag out for 40 years. And he was pointing at my fly.
Oh, for God.
Frank, that is so vulgar.
You were not pointing at my fly?
It's vulgar.
You were not pointing at my fly.
All right, let's just...
Yeah, and he says, yeah, guess what I had a gag back for... And I said, are you high on a mixture of chemicals? That's prime Frank Gray real estate. I pointed at it. I said, you have to gag that? Then gag away. And that's when he said... Something along the lines of, yeah, well, that is a whole lot to gag. I forget, but I'd already wheeled about.
He wheeled about and left.
What is this wheel about? That's not the way the man walks. It's the way he walks.
Yeah, I mean, we do that at our house. Don't you wheel about?
What do you mean? I wheel about. I don't make a point of saying, hey, I wheeled about.
All right, point is, after the crack about your prime real estate, she said something else.
Yeah, I said, that Frank Gray prime real estate you got to gag down. And that's when he said, come to think of it, it really isn't much of a gag. I swallow it real fine the way one swallows a spitball or a little teeny, teeny, tiny one. Something like that.
You know, Frank, I've never really wanted to say this before because I never really felt it. But tonight, listening to you, I think you should go back to Dr. Emery.
Holy crap.
No, you do. You need another CAT scan because I think it's gotten worse.
Are you?
All right, let's...
No, are you saying...
No, let's not go there anymore.
We don't need to talk about Frank's neurosyphilis.
Well, is this the whole... The confusion is really something else.
The only confusion... I gotta sit down.
Hey, look, I don't like to hear this. I really don't. I wish that you guys would just chill, okay? I know you love each other. Thanksgiving weekend is not a time to have an argument.
Well, you know, most arguments happen during the holidays, Phil, because... A wife will say to a husband that, you know, that I've had to gag it down. And the husband, she'll say, you had to gang up on this prime real estate, pointing at your area. And then she'll say, I'm offended. And
all right, Frank, thank you very much.
You understand?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Hold on for a minute. We got to take a break and get to other things.
Well, I want to talk off the air.
I'll talk to you off the air, Frank, and we'll settle this once and for all. But the entire idea of gagging a buzzard off of a meat wagon...
And you said that about him having never met him.
That's true, too.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I'd forgotten that I'd insulted his mother. I remember he insulted...
All right, hold the line, Frank, okay?
Well, the whole...
Frank Gray.
You know, I don't like the idea of this.
Well, Mr. Enner invited him to call in, and he did.
I understand that, but I don't like the idea of this airing my dirty laundry here.
Well, Miss Wade, not really your dirty laundry.
I don't like the idea of airing the dirty laundry. Who would want that? To take underwear, and I'm sorry, I'm being graphic. I'm sorry, Phil, but to take your underwear and just air it out Right over someone's...
Right over someone's face.
I didn't say face.
Come on, let go of him. I got to take some, you know, we got to take a break. We got to get our shit together. Excuse my French. On this year's show. Coming up on the show tonight, by the way, we have Robert Greene is going to be on. Bob Greene was himself the target of a small Facebook campaign. Apparently, he lost it on an aircraft in Orange County not too long ago, about a week or so ago. This is hot on the heels. This information hot on the heels of that Delta Airlines guy.
Yeah, I heard about that. That Delta Airlines guy, they found out who he was.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're not going to talk about that, but Bob Greene, you know, apparently had a similar situation. I was talking to him about it before the show, and I had no idea, but he said that he... was offended and upset by some things that some people were saying, and so he got up and he caused a disturbance. We'll find out about that. We also have Larry Grover to talk about playing the cornet or the bugle as in a tribute ceremony that he and his mother have organized for our veterans. And then we have As You Like to Hear Them tonight. Donald Trump is back, the president-elect of the United States, and As You Like to Hear Them, where we interview a celebrity and they simply must tell the truth. But until that time, we right now have the traffic. Let's go to Bob Bacon. Bob?
I tell you, Bob, the freeway around town and in Boston town has got it. And the chicane around town is getting a little squirrely down there. If you are a squirrel and you have your hat, and I'm going to tell you, it is a 2-3 hour wait down there with the He-Man. And the He-Man, he's a He-Man, too. Let's go to the Skyboy out there. How's the bud?
Hi, Bob. I got a fish on the arm, and then there's a Figment.
A Figment of graduation, huh?
Hey, but there is downtown the Calabas. About 3 to 4 miles away, you're going down. You're going to down my thing. And your feet are going to be smelling right there. Right, put your foot in that mouth. Put your foot in your mouth, too. Yes, boy, it's going to be sweet then.
I know how to suck on my own toe.
Yeah, I'll tell you. Every time I taste
Mother Renfro's Frozen Foods,
I always tell myself it's just a dream.
Mother Renfro's Frozen Foods.
Beef steaks, small slabs, sausage, pork rinds, potato chips, sour cream, strawberries and cream, desserts, ice cream, peaches regalia. I mean, it goes on and on and on and on.
Mother Renfro's Frozen Foods.
It's a line of food that starts here and goes all the way to hell and back. And when you get to hell, that's where the barbecue is. You come on back to here, that's where the peaches and regalia is.
Mother Renfro's Frozen Foods.
It's a line of great foods manufactured by an old crazed miner.
That's right. Mother Renfro's Frozen Foods.
I'm half out of my mind. When I was breathing all that coal dust and all that mercury, I realized that that wasn't cut out for me. And I wasn't cut out for it. But it wasn't cut out for me more. So that's when I started making food. I started to make my own cows and then slaughter them. Make my own pigs, slaughter those, and on it goes.
Mother Renfro's Frozen Foods.
A great line of meats and foods for you and your entire family. Is your mouth a little bit paralyzed? Yeah, just a little bit.
Mother Renfro's Frozen Foods.
This is Harvey Wireman. Don't forget, coming up in the month of December, a return to Harvey Wireman's News Flash. I'll have all the big news for you right here on the Phil Hendry Show. We'll be talking about President Trump, and we'll be talking about the upcoming inauguration of President Trump. Harvey Wireman's Newsbreak right here on the Phil Hendry Show. Pray I don't mess up.
I'm a silver patron. I bought a ticket to Rome.
Yeah. Who's this? It's that Fetty Wap dude or whatever?
I don't know, some guy.
Yeah, that is. Anyway, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. All right, thank you very, very much there, General Galen Shaw. Welcome back to our program. And Frank and Margaret worked this thing out. Are you guys, you're not arguing anymore, are you?
No, we're not arguing anymore, Phil, but the problem is Frank is already hard enough to understand with the fumbling about with the he-she. And then he gets on the air.
I forget who brought this up, anyway.
I don't know. Maybe I did.
I think you did, Margaret. I think you were...
All right, so I did. So what?
Well, we wouldn't have gone down that road. We wouldn't have gone... People are saying, he says, you're going down the rabbit hole.
Yeah, I hear a lot of people talking about that.
So what about it?
We wouldn't have gone down that hole. I mean, the rabbit hole.
Yeah, wouldn't have gone down that hole, well.
You say hole.
Hey.
I know why he says that.
I do it on purpose.
Yes, you did do it on purpose. You didn't say hole on purpose?
Well, yeah, I said hole, but I mean to say it in a dirty way.
Uh-huh. All right. Let's see. I know that we have Donald Trump in As You Like to Hear Him, right?
Yeah, what are we having this guy back on for?
What do you mean, what are we having him back on for?
Wait.
What is it, Robert?
Why are we having that guy back on?
Because there's a lot of stuff to talk about. A lot of stuff has been happening, so...
I don't know if...
He's continuing to make news, and a lot of it is bad, but we'll find out.
I do want to bring on Larry Grover. Larry, of course, with the Conservatives of Kern County. Last time we had him on, we were talking to Larry about Conservatives of Kern County getting their fair share of appointments in the Trump White House. I don't know, to be honest with you, whether that's really in the cards, but let's talk to Larry this evening. He is out with his mother in the Glendora area tonight. They're at a Veterans Carnival, Larry, is that right?
That's a veterans event here to honor the veterans and their service. We wanted to do it on Veteran Weekend, but we were not able to get the fairgrounds here. So we were finally able to get everyone here, and we have a number of veterans that we're honoring and raising money for, you know, the veteran services.
You know, excuse me, Larry, this is General Shaw.
Yes, sir.
You know, all of that, excuse me, I hate to say it, all of it sounds very vague. You know?
What do you mean, vague?
Well, every time people are raising money for veterans, well, you know, it's for the veterans, this, and a veteran, you know, raising money for the vets. What exactly is this?
It's a veterans event that we were going to have on Veterans Weekend, but we weren't able to get the fairgrounds here and in the Glendora area, and so we put it off to the Thanksgiving weekend, okay?
All right. Well, you don't have to get bent out of shape.
Well, you're intimating some things I don't think I like.
Well, no, Larry, let me apologize on behalf of all of us.
Wait a minute. I don't mean to apologize.
Let me apologize. Everyone is a little bit on edge, and we certainly don't... we're not trying to say that you are scamming anyone.
Yeah, no, Larry, I agree. We just wanted to know the specifics of it because Veterans Weekend was a couple of weeks ago.
I know Veterans Weekend, and you were attending a memorial for your brother. There are a lot of things happening, okay? But I wanted to have this event not only to raise money for the veterans, but also to demonstrate for the first time my bugle and cornet playing. You know, Phil, I heard Taps as it was played at your brother's memorial, and I heard the words you said. You said that's the most beautiful version of Taps that you'd ever heard, right?
Yeah, I said that.
Hey, were you in the military, Grover?
No, I was not in the military, but I'm not going to talk about that. And I told myself then that I was going to practice playing Taps so that it was actually even more beautiful than that young Navy bugle. Hold on. Yes, Mother? Do you have the... Yeah, I have it right here, Mother.
Ask your mother, Gloria, not to get on the phone.
Mr. Henry doesn't want you on the phone. Then bugle. Got the bugle. And here it is. Now, this is a slightly unusual way of demonstrating it, but you will hear my version of Taps rendered perfectly.
Now, why'd you learn how to play Taps?
Because I wanted to learn how to play Taps in honor of my father, who was in the military, and a great many men and women of the United States military that I wanted to honor here on this weekend for veterans.
Yeah, see, the whole thing this weekend, there's Veterans Weekend, there's Memorial Weekend. Everybody wants to be, you know, a lot of this stuff I don't trust.
What are you talking about?
I just don't trust everybody kissing up to the veterans. I don't think they all have our best interests at heart.
Are you trying to tell me that I don't?
No, I'm not saying that, Larry, necessarily. It's just the timing's a little oddball.
Well, what do you mean by that?
Well, what are you looking at?
I want to know the same thing. What do you mean by that?
I just, everybody's talking about veterans now like they want to lick our...
But I want to lick your rear end.
Exactly, what the man said there.
I don't know. What do you mean I want to lick your rear end?
Well, what is all this stuff with veterans? I'm a veteran, and I only expect to be honored at Memorial Day. You know, Flag Day, 4th of July, all that jazz. But every single day, somebody trying to put their tongue...
Oh, my God.
Hold on, I just want to be clear.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, it doesn't mean anything, but...
No, I want to be clear. Are you trying to tell me I'm trying to put my tongue up your you-know-what?
Well, it feels a little bit like it. You know, it's...
Hey, General, can I ask some... Are you saying that everyone is kissing up to veterans for disingenuous reasons?
That's what it feels like for political reasons.
Oh, my God.
I think that's wrong, General.
Oh, my God.
See, right there. Look at this guy getting all crazy.
Well, I mean, I can't even honor a veteran.
Well, I understand you wanting to honor the veterans. And I understand you wanting to, and I believe that, believe me when I tell you, we deserve it. Me especially.
What does that mean?
Just what I said. I feel I especially deserve it.
Well, don't, God damn, get a load of this guy.
Well, as long as you're honoring veterans.
All right, we can talk about your worthiness, or, and I'm sure you're worthy, General, okay?
Yeah, General's worthy.
You better believe it.
Okay, but the way you're singling yourself out there a little bit.
Yeah, what is with you anyway?
I'm just tanked.
You're just tanked.
I'm saying.
And I thought it was a war wound or something, man.
You want to get smart with me, Grover? I can find out where you are and get there in seconds.
I'm kidding, okay? We're honoring the veterans here. It was an opportunity for me to demonstrate my bugle playing, and my mother said...
Thanks for telling me, Larry.
Mother, would you mind?
I asked your mother to stay away from the phone.
Mr. Henry's getting bad.
Blow it out of
you. She just said, blow it out your ass. What do you want me to do?
What a dickhead.
She just called me a dickhead. What do you want me to do, Mr. Henry?
Never mind. Just tell us what you wanted to tell us.
Wow.
Phil, you just went, never mind.
Tell us what you want to tell us.
What I want to tell you is this. I honor the veterans, yes. But yes, you're right, to the extent that I wanted to demonstrate my bugle playing.
So it was all about your bugle playing.
It's not all about my bugle playing, but I have to have a reason, an excuse to play the bugle for these people that I have assembled. Now, we've got some 30 veterans here with their families. And I told them all that I'd like to play a tribute to my father, who died, a few years ago. My father died in 2000 after his service in the U.S. military in Korea.
In Korea?
That's how my father pronounced it, and with respect to him, that's how I pronounce it.
All right, so what are you going to do?
Well, hold on. Get everybody's attention, Mother.
Everybody. They're not paying attention.
Hey, everyone, I'd like to now play Taps that I learned in honor of the veterans. You, all you veterans, and also my father. They're not paying attention to me.
What do you mean?
I'll play it for you here on the radio, Phil. Do you mind?
No, but what's with everyone?
They're not paying attention. They're eating the what are those, ham sandwiches?
Yeah, the honey-baked ham.
There's a honey-baked ham. They're tearing into that.
Get their attention. Larry doesn't have
you. Hold on for a minute. I'll play it for you guys, all right?
All right, fine. I mean, why aren't people paying attention?
I don't know. There's a honey-baked ham and somebody's got a bocce ball.
They're more interested in the honey-baked ham and the games.
Yeah, and this, hold on. This is for the veterans. All right.
See, that's what I'm talking about, Grover.
Excuse me. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Yes, Larry, we're ready.
Wait, hold on for a minute.
What?
That's not a bugle.
It is me approximating the bugle because I don't have it with me. I told you that I didn't have it.
What are you talking about? You're going to play it for the veterans?
I already told the veterans that I'd be playing Taps. I don't have the bugle with me. All right.
Larry can't afford it.
That's right. I can't afford to buy the bugle yet, but I've been practicing.
What are you doing, man? He's playing his mouth is what he's playing with.
Oh, man. He just said I'm playing with my mouth.
Larry, you walked right into it, all right? You walked into it, you sat down in it, and decided to go ahead and put your face in it, too.
I walked into it, and I might have said...
All right, let's not have a discussion along the lines of what you walked into or sat in. Why do you not have a bugle?
I haven't purchased one yet.
So instead, you're going to play bugle with your lips.
You know something? I think the sentiment is a good sentiment. And if the veterans there don't appreciate it, Larry, I think there are some veterans listening here today that will.
Thank you very much.
I can assure you that this is ridiculous.
Excuse me, General. You're not the only one being heard from here.
Thank you very much, Margaret. And again, I'd say the veterans, do you want to hear me? They're not even paying attention.
They're having a honey-baked ham.
I know what they have. They're having none of the honey-baked, that potatoes are gratin, which I wanted to have some, and they're not saving any.
Because you're a fat ass. Son, I love you, but your ass is too big.
Jesus Christ.
Okay, you know, we got more trauma.
God, no kidding, man. Everybody just chill the hell out.
All right,
let's see. Here is Larry Grover playing Taps.
Wait, what do you want? What? The ham's over there and the potatoes are there.
Wait a minute, is this ass still doing this?
What up?
Yes, you're interrupting him, General.
Oh, sorry. Why are you going to let him do this?
Tell you what, wants to play Taps.
He's not playing Taps. He's going with his lips.
Yeah, General, do that again. Sounds real weird.
It did sound weird, General. You might as well let the man play taps in the way that he wants to.
Thank you very much.
Wait, I go with the General on that. I'm not saying don't do it, but I want everybody to know you're not playing a bugle. You're doing it with your mouth.
Because I haven't yet purchased the bugle that is very expensive. I want to get a good one.
Larry, you get a good bugle, you don't know how to play it.
Bullshit.
Larry just said bullshit.
I'm sorry, Mother. I didn't mean it. I want to play the bugle.
You're not playing the bugle, Larry. You're playing your lips.
If you know, Mr. Henry, the vulgarity.
Okay, Grover, nobody is saying you don't...
I want to do it.
Let him do it.
Go ahead.
Where the ham? Hold on, what?
Where the ham?
The ham's right in front of you. Here, here's the ham.
Oh, my God, Larry just pulled his dick out.
What happened? I don't know, but we had to dump that. Did you dump it?
Yeah.
What, you know, that guy Grover is a mental midget.
No, he's talking about playing the trumpet, Mr. Henry.
No, he's talking about playing the bugle. I don't want him back on the air.
He's coming back right now. Oh, it's his mother. Hold on.
I don't want to talk to her.
Well, hold on. Yeah, Mr. Grover. No, we can't do it. He pulled his penis out, okay? She's giving me a play-by-play.
Why do we need the play-by-play?
Go ahead.
He went. Somebody said, where's the ham? He got upset, and he pulled it out. Okay, Ms. Grover. Okay, Ms. Grover. Okay. Yeah. Oh, probably about 8 o'clock. Will you get the phone?
All right. Your comment?
Well, I don't have a comment other than to say that this Jack Ball says he's playing the bugle.
Jesus. Now, the guy not playing the bugle, he's just going with the lips.
What is it with him and the lips? I don't understand.
He apparently cannot afford the good bugle that he wants, but he's been practicing this, and he wanted to play this for his father. Now, he wanted to have this veterans event. In general, the way you spoke to him...
I don't give a damn. I'm very, very suspicious of these so-called veterans events. They like to trot out the veterans, and they parade us around like a bunch of clowns. They don't raise any money. They want to make themselves feel good.
Shit.
Here, I'll play the bugle for you. Want to hear taps? Listen.
Yay! That's fantastic.
Thank you. Because, all right, General, I don't think we need to be running the man into the ground any more than he has already run himself into the ground.
Well said. This is the world... break time?
Yes, it is break time.
This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. Coming up, Bob Green. And what happened on a private airline, a private Cessna, that got a lot of the passengers... Was this a Cessna or a jet?
It was a private Learjet.
That got a lot of the passengers upset. We'll be right back.
World famous Phil Henry Show to El Pacifico in Southern California.
Alright, let me get on the phone here. Robert Green from Fraser Foods. By the way, that is Future with Low Life.
I wonder who that was.
Bob Green joining us here from Fraser Foods in Buena Park, California. Find out about what happened on the aircraft. Bob, over the past week or so, we had conversations about people, various people causing disturbances on aircraft. There was one just recently having to do with Donald Trump's election as president. Then you call me this morning, and we're talking to you about something that happened on an aircraft that you were on.
That is exactly right, Phil. It happened, as a matter of fact, on the very aircraft that I'm on right now, which is Paul Rettman's Learjet. Paul is up flying himself, his wife, Sally, and myself. We were traveling, it was 2 weeks ago, to Las Vegas. Paul's a very dear friend of mine, loves to fly. I don't like taking commercial flights, and he allows me to tag along. Right, Paul? Oh, he's busy right now. I was aboard this plane 2 weeks ago. There were a total of 12 other people on board the aircraft, and these were people.
Now, this is, I don't mean to interrupt you. This is a private jet.
Yeah, it's a small jet.
And it seats how many people?
Well, I said there were 12 other people, and these, I guess that's 13. Is that right, Paul?
I don't
know. He's flying a jet. He doesn't know. About 13 people.
Well, it's probably about 14.
I don't know, General. If you say 14, I guess I have to defer to you. All I'm doing is standing on it. You know.
All right, okay, so there's 13.
13. And I got up and I said to the people assembled, this is going to be a great time in Las Vegas, isn't it? And they all said, yeah. I said, and by the way, I just want to ask all of you, how many of you are on this aircraft here as part of an invited, as invited guests directly by Paul, or how many of you have not been invited by him, but are people that were invited through other people? Basically, I wanted to know how many of his friends were there. All right.
That's pretty confusing.
No, it wasn't confusing. I said, how many of you people know Paul, and how many of you people have been invited by friends? A total of about three or four people raised their hands and said they knew Paul directly, including myself, and everybody else was there having been invited by others. That's when I got up and I said, okay, right there, you people are aboard this aircraft as invited guests. You don't know him. I know him. Okay? And then I made the mistake, and you'll notice it was also done by this guy in the jet, on the Delta jet. I said, all you bitches, and that's when they started screaming and yelling. I said, no, no, all you bitches that are not here by direct invitation of Paul and his wife, Sally, and they're all, y'all, why don't you sit down? You, and I got called every kind of name in the book. I was called, as a matter of fact.
Wait, I have to ask you, Bob, what is the point of you calling these people bitches?
Because these people were not invited by Paul. They were invited indirectly. They were invited by other people.
Yes, but what difference does that make?
It makes a very big difference. I know the guy. I've been on his jet before. And all these people sitting in front of me that think, I don't know, I can't explain it. It just pisses me off.
Now, you were upset that all these people looked like they knew him and they didn't.
Yeah, I've been on that jet and flying around in that jet with him for years. Now, I don't own a private jet because I don't know how to fly. And so people will assume, well, you don't own a jet, maybe you can't afford it. And no, I can afford it. I just don't know how to fly. That's why I haven't purchased one. And that a lot of that was going on.
What I'm hearing here, Bob, is that you were resenting a lot of these people on this aircraft because they didn't know, or they didn't think, excuse me, they didn't think you were as important, you know.
Yes, that's it right there.
That sounds about right.
No, it's not right.
Well, why isn't that right? You want people to think you own a jet?
I want you guys think that Phil, what did you say?
You were upset with these people because they didn't think you were as important as you are.
No, you're wrong. What I said was, how many of you know Paul? And three or four said we do. And I said, the rest of you bitches, you don't know, you know.
Why did you use that term, bitches?
Because I wanted to be as direct as I could. It's not that insulting a phrase.
Yeah, it is a very, very insulting phrase.
It is. People start fights over that.
No, it doesn't. I kid around with my friends all the time. I said, you bitches.
All right, well, you're talking to strangers.
All right, maybe I'm talking to strangers, but I know Paul. I'm on his jet. They don't. So if I can finish this, please, in the name of everything holy, I'd like to.
Go ahead.
So I said, all you bitches out there, you don't know Paul. And you're here, and you think that I ought to own a jet. Now, a lot of them hadn't said anything, but I said, I can tell by the look in your eye, you think I should own a jet. Well, I don't own one because I can't afford, but I can afford it, I was going to say.
Well, what did you say to them?
I said, I can't afford it. I almost misspoke there. And that's when, you know, I said, all you bitches, and I started to laugh. Now, the recording that we got here, can you cue that, Chip? I'm on the jet right now. Hey, Paul, where's your tape? Well, I'll play this for you, Phil.
All you...
Did you hear that, Phil?
Yeah, what was I listening to?
That was me laughing, and then I got assaulted. So you hear me laughing. I wasn't saying anything worse than all you bitches think that I can't afford an airplane, and then I laughed.
Well, what we heard was you going, ah! Was that you?
I didn't sound like that.
Yes, you did, Bob. It sounded exactly like that.
No, well, I said, all you bitches think I can't afford an airplane, ha, 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 ha.
Well, play it again, will you?
What?
Play it again.
All right. Hold on.
You bitches.
Fucking ow! And you can hear me being assaulted there. Not once, but twice.
Well, you know, when you say assaulted, what do you mean by that?
I was shoved down into the seat. My head was grabbed, and my face was shoved even more into the seat. So in other words, I was shoved down in the seat, and then I was bent over into the next seat, and my face was crammed down into that seat. There was actually a woman sitting there, and they were shoving my face into her lap, which I was not what I wanted to do, and, you know, it was more embarrassing for her because there's my face buried.
You buried what?
Well, wouldn't you like to know?
All right, wait. I don't want to hear any of this stuff, okay? Because it sounds to me like you're making it up.
I'm not making it up.
So your face was buried deep in her lap, huh?
Yeah, through no fault of my own is what I'm saying. Here it is again. Play it one more time, Paul. Can I play it one more time?
Yeah.
Ah, ha, 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 you bitch.
Oh,
There you heard it, Phil. I can only tell you that what's happening, I think, in our society is we decide that when a man stands up in an aircraft and wants to have his say, he's told to sit down, he's shoved down into a woman's lap, he's got his face shoved right up in there.
Well, it doesn't sound to me like it was anything you didn't enjoy.
Excuse me, General, but I'm not that kind of a guy. And I'm not going to impose myself on a woman. And because somebody thought it was funny.
So you were forced down into a seat and your face forced into some woman's lap.
That's, yes, exactly.
After you laughed at these people, called them bitches.
Well,
those are fighting words, man.
Yeah, you don't know Mr. Gray or Mr. Green.
Mr. Gray?
That is not Mr. Gray.
I should say, no offense to you, Margaret, but I should say I'm not, well, a little bit of offense to you, Margaret. I should say that I'm not Mr. Gray, and thank Christ I'm not Mr.
All right, there's another guy we're going to hang up on because we're running late, right?
Wait a second. I want to talk to him.
Margaret,
I want to talk to him. Get him back.
And so most of the people...
Bob, hold on. You were cut off by Phil.
Excuse me?
I hung up on you.
Oh, my God.
Bob, I want to ask you something.
Oh, my God.
I want to ask you something. So you stood up in this aircraft in order to make yourself, to make it known that you could afford to fly an aircraft. You could afford to buy one, but you didn't. And that the rest of the people that are on board this aircraft really don't deserve to be there. And you laughed. And
you know what? You just made garbage out of everything that I've said. I got to tell you.
Well, what was the point of this display?
The point of the display was to let people know that I can afford an airplane even though they didn't see me flying it.
So you call them all bitches, and you just about start a riot.
No, not a riot. So some guy took offense, he grabbed my head and shoved it down into a leather seat and then into a woman's lap.
And what did she think about it?
I haven't heard any complaints. I can tell you.
Robert Greene here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
What the hell's the point of that, Henry? Why don't you get control of this show?
Yeah, Mr. Henry.
What do you mean, yeah, Mr. Henry?
What that was very bizarre, Phil.
Yeah, all right. Well, it's bizarre is my middle name. I'll tell you that. All right, we got Donald Trump coming up here in just a moment, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, as you like to hear him, because we got a few things we got to ask him about some stuff. Right back here, world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com.
Every night I pray I can call you my man. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, famous Phil Henry Show is back.
I want you.
All right, let me just very quickly bring on the program here. Very, very happy to have on the program today. As you'd like to hear him, the President-elect of the United States, Donald Trump. All right, Mr. President-elect, how are you?
I'm doing good, Phil. Thank you.
And thanks for coming back on the program.
My pleasure.
Let's talk about something that you tweeted out on Sunday that's got a lot of people freaking out, and that was the tweet having to do with the 2 million votes.
Yeah, that was a tweet that people have taken and run with.
Well, my understanding, Mr. Trump, this is General Galen Shaw.
Yeah, it's President-elect, but that's okay.
Wait, if you don't mind, all right, President-elect Trump, you tweeted this, said that not only did you win the electoral vote in a landslide, but you would have won the popular vote, too, if 2 million votes hadn't been cast illegally.
That's correct, yeah.
Now, do you really believe that?
No, I do not.
You don't believe it?
No.
All right, then why did you say it?
I said it because I was emotional. I think a lot of people understand, maybe most people don't understand this, but a lot of people do, that when I get angry and I get emotional, I just blurt stuff out. I do not have any governor on my speech.
No matter what it is, huh?
No, pretty much no matter what it is, yeah. I blurt things out that have no basis in reality, and it's because I get angry.
So you have no control over your temper?
Not really, no. I don't. I have control over my temper to the point where I don't get crazy physical because I don't really have the guts. I don't have a lot of the courage that I want people to think I have. You know, I've never really been in any fist fights in my life, so to actually engage people physically, I don't really do that. But what I do, I get angry.
Well, you have enough of a governor on your tongue where you don't say anything physically challenging to people.
No, I don't. And I tell people I don't do that because it's presidential. The reason why I really don't do it is because, you know, I'm afraid.
You're afraid to be in a fight.
Yes, I'm afraid to be in a fight.
Okay, let's talk about this tweet. You said that you won the Electoral College in a landslide.
Which is true.
All right, that is true. And you would have won the popular vote had 2 million votes not been cast illegally. Do you have any evidence of that?
No, I don't.
Do you have any proof of that?
No, I do not.
Have you talked to your attorney general, or anybody in the Obama administration about investigating this?
No, I have not.
So it's pretty obvious that you're not telling the truth.
Well, no, I don't think it's obvious, and that's where that's what I count on. I don't think it's obvious because the people that voted for me, the people that believe in me, and the people that support me are willing to believe just about anything, and
forgive you for it.
Well, they're willing to believe about anything, and yeah, even the bad stuff about me, they will forgive me for it.
Why do you think that is?
That is going to be good. Why do people do that?
Well, people, was that Dickman?
Yes, Mr. Trump, this is Bud Dickman. Mr. President-elect.
Yeah, Bud, and Phil and everyone. I think the reason why they do that is because they're afraid of the changing demography of the country, the changing look of the country, the changing, not the politics, but it's more the changing racial makeup of the country. And they see the white European, historically the white European ruling class, if you will, as being endangered, and therefore American values being endangered.
Now, that's very clear to you. Why can't you make that clear to your supporters that they're wrong?
Because I agree with them. I mean, I think I agree with them. I'm not sure. I'm not as stupid as a lot of them, but I sort of do agree with them. I think it's why I got into the race. I see my father's generation, all the white people from Europe and their ancestors no longer being in control. They're not just, they don't have the numbers. And now it's a lot of dark-skinned people and, you know, Jewish people and all these. And that scares me, and it scares a lot of my supporters. So because I'm very rich, the people that support me are a little simple-minded, and they think that someone with money must know what he's doing. And so they give me all of that leeway.
And you don't have any feeling or sense that you want to disabuse them of that?
Yeah, see, that is the point, that you could come out and tell them, you know something, I don't have, I'm not a magic man, I don't have all the answers.
Well, it's very tempting, and I enjoy being praised by people and being the center of their attention and being the focal point of their savior complex. I like it, you know. Do I really honestly deep down believe that I've got all the answers? Not all of them. Do I think that I'm a great candidate for president? Yeah, I do. And do I think I'll make a great president? I don't know.
You don't know whether you're going to make a great president.
No, I don't. I really don't. But I hope I do.
But are you scared or something?
You know something?
No, that's a good question. Are you scared?
Yes, I'm scared, but I'm not going to admit that. So
you're not going to answer the question?
Well, I just answered it with you, but because I have to tell the truth here. But no, I wouldn't tell anyone.
So you are scared. You're scared that you're going to fail.
Yeah, I would say yes, very much so. I'm scared. And when I get attacked, I begin to feel vulnerable. And when I feel vulnerable, I say anything that comes into my mind. So I said that about the fraudulent votes because I just blurted it out.
Now, has Kellyanne Conway come to you in the last 7, 8, 9, 10 hours, however long it's been since that, well, 24 hours since that tweet, and wanted to take your Twitter away from you?
No, we had a conversation, but Kellyanne is starting to feel that this is really great. You know, she's a part of, I've made her feel like she's really a part of the incoming administration. I don't know whether I'm really going to keep her or not. She wants to be the press secretary.
Oh, she's asked you for that.
Yeah, she has. And I told her, yeah, maybe. And she thinks that she's going to be a part. So she doesn't want to say anything that's going to embarrass me or anger me.
So what have you guys talked about?
What specifically have you said about this Twitter account?
She said to me, was that the smartest thing to tweet? And I have to, you know, I got to pretend like I know what I'm doing. I said, yeah, it was perfectly smart. You know as well as I do, those 2 million votes are fraudulent. And she's smart, but she's also somebody who knows which side of the bread the butter's on. So she went out and told the press, hey, you know, Trump knows what he's doing. For all I know, she hates my guts. I don't know a lot about Kellyanne. I don't trust her.
Why don't you trust her?
Because she used to work for Cruz. And she used to love Cruz. I mean, she loved Cruz. Let's be honest about it, okay? How much do you think I'm going to trust her when I know for a fact?
All right, so she loved Cruz, and you don't trust her belief in you?
Not at all. Not at all. Not as far as you could throw a building. So I don't trust her, and I don't think I would let her take my Twitter account away from me, even though I know I need to have it taken away from me.
Yeah, because you have that whole thing about 2 million votes being fraudulent. That's illegal, but you don't have any proof of that. You can get impeached.
I can't get impeached now that I'm just the president-elect. Oh, how about that, huh?
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't know. I don't know what the law says. The law, I'm very vague on the law. I'm vague on a lot of things about the law. I'm vague on the Constitution. But I've got a lot of people that tell me what I want to hear. All right? And
what do you want to hear?
That I'm in the right. And so far, that's what they're telling me. Well, you're telling me that I'm in the wrong.
Well, yeah, you're in the wrong. By tweeting out that 2 million votes were fraudulently cast, that they weren't cast, is about as irresponsible a thing as possible. It's almost, because you're the top law enforcement officer in the country, it's almost like bringing a false arrest. It's bringing false charges, if you'll pardon the expression, trumped-up charges.
That's funny.
Well, it is, and it's very, very serious, and it could very well be impeachable, an impeachable offense if you were to do it as president.
Well, then I'm going to not do it as president.
Yeah, but how can you govern yourself? You just said you cannot keep yourself from yapping stupid stuff.
I cannot keep myself from yapping stupid stuff. You're right. If I give my Twitter account over to Kellyanne Conway, then I'm going to see stuff happening, and I'm going to want to say something about it, and she's not going to let me. If I keep the Twitter account, I'm going to say dumb stuff that you say could get me impeached. I don't think so.
Why not?
Because I don't think there's anybody in Washington with the guts to do it. The good thing for me is this. There's no one in Washington, Republican or Democrat, with the balls to take me on right now. So,
you know, that could change, my friend.
Yeah, it could change, and maybe it won't, General. But that's why I think that in the long run, it's all going to be good. Pardon me for acting like an asshole there.
Yeah, well, you just acted like an asshole.
Yeah, it's all good.
All right, President-elect Trump, thank you.
Thank you.
How about that, huh? You know, that guy is going to get himself in some serious trouble with the big fat yep on him. Well, that is President-elect Donald Trump here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And this has been a world-famous Phil Henry Show for this Monday, the 28th of November. And let's hope, man, that the week, it was a nice Thanksgiving. Let's hope that the week plays out very well as we head on into December.
Yes, this year's going to haul ass to the end.
Hauling ass to the end, huh?
Let's hope that we have a beautiful, beautiful winter season, Christmas season. I don't know. I really don't know.
Because looming ahead is Trump's inauguration. Looming. All right, okay. I think it's going to be all right, folks. World-famous Phil Henry Show, executive produced by me, Phil Henry, for Siempre Incorporated. All rights reserved here on Podcast One, man.